You're listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast from Top Music. Tune in weekly as we interview music teachers and experts from around the world to explore creative activities and ideas that build learning connections in students. Our integrated music teaching approach will deepen your students' understanding of musical concepts, engage them in critical thinking, improve their reading and performance, foster their curiosity, and prepare them for a lifetime of music making. Hi there, teachers. It's Tim Topham here, and welcome back to another episode of the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. I can't believe that we are at the end of November, and I think if I'm right, this episode is going to be dropping around the time of Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to anyone who is celebrating that in America. Otherwise, I know that this is also Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend, so I hope everyone's enjoying a bit of a break, some sales, all that kind of stuff, and we've got a great sale coming up and some information about that in our big announcement that we'll be making today. And if you've been listening to any of the episodes earlier this month, you'll have some idea of what I'm going to be announcing shortly. Before we get into the show today, though, I did want to let you know about a freebie we've created. It's a self-assessment all about, are you ready to teach advanced pianists? I've been thinking, as we've been covering this topic this week, it'd be fun to create a bit of a checklist, a self-assessment, for teachers who might be like, wonder if I am ready. And so we put together a self-assessment, and these are actually based on the self-assessments that you'll find in my Notebook Beginners book, which I've created. I created about three or four of them throughout the Notebook Beginners book, and they've been very, very popular for teachers to enable them to sort of see where they're at in a number of areas of their teaching. So this one's all about how ready you might be to teach advanced pianists. So if you'd like to do that self-assessment, head over to the show notes for today's episode. It's all free. And that is at topmusic.co/episode357. All right. As you know, all this month, we've been talking about teaching students entering early advanced levels. And you've heard me talk about why I'm passionate about this. You've heard me chat with our member Suzanne about her experience teaching an advanced student for the first time and how she coped with her lack of confidence and how she pushed aside her imposter syndrome. We then heard from Jenna Williamson about the best approaches to use to prepare intermediate students for the advanced level and how to go about teaching your first advanced students with confidence. And now I realize, of course, that not everyone wants to teach advanced students. Many of you are happiest at the beginner and intermediate level, not a problem at all. But if you've taught for a while at the late intermediate level and have wondered if you could take students into advanced music, or if you've previously handed over your advancing students to another teacher, even though deep down inside you really wanted to keep teaching them but lack the confidence, or if you've played music at an advanced level yourself but just haven't been sure about teaching that approach to students, then we've got you covered today as we have our big announcement, which is our brand new online course to help you feel more confident teaching advanced students is now live at Top Music Pro. And we are offering an extra special discount to non-members who'd like to join our community and access this course, plus all the other 50 or so just like it on all the topics that we've talked about over the last, wow, how many years have I been doing this podcast? 7 years, I think. So you've heard about all the other courses that we have on offer. There are lots in there. There's all our discounts. There are weekly videos about teaching. There's our free sheet music. There's our free games. There is so much value in Top Music Pro, and we've just increased it by adding this new course. It's called Advancing Pianist Course. It's hosted by none other than our incredible Top Music Pro expert teacher, Jenna Williamson, who you met a couple of weeks ago. If you've explored any of the videos over at Tonebase, that's a site where we provide an exclusive 20% discount to all our members to go and explore. Tonebase offers high-level advanced teaching videos for students predominantly, but also really interesting for teachers. It's got, you know, super high quality sound and vision, overhead view, side-on view, all of that kind of stuff. And so we've tried to emulate that with our course with Jenna. So you'll get the overhead view of the piano side-on from her. And we've broken it up into a number of short videos so you don't sort of feel like you're stuck there watching an hour-long video or anything. And I'm going to go through exactly what videos are included, what topics we cover, and give you some excerpts to listen to so you can get a feeling for how Jenna teaches this. Really, as I think I said last week, this is a masterclass in teaching music generally. So even if you're not teaching advanced students, you will learn heaps from this. I really do guarantee it. I've been learning lots from it. So if you're interested in accessing the new course, we're offering a crazy Black Friday discount and two big bonuses to celebrate the launch. And I'll tell you more about those at the end of the show. But if you've heard enough this month and you're just ready to jump in, head over to topmusic.co/Black Friday. All right, I want to take you through the course, so let's explore. All right, in module one, we have some introduction models. And in that, we're going to include what the course will cover, so as an overview, the importance of teacher self-study and development. That's what you're going to be doing while you take this course, but there's a number of ways that you can increase and expand that as well. We'll talk about early advanced technique, teaching students how to practice, and also integrating functional and creative skills at the advanced level, which is a lot different to how you might approach these things at a lower level. All right, let's start by checking out Jenna's introduction module. Here we go.
Hello, teachers. Thank you so much for joining me on this Advancing Pianist course. I'm guessing if you are here watching this and enrolled in this, that you have your first or maybe second or third student who is going beyond what you consider the intermediate level and is ready to play advanced repertoire or is asking you to play advanced repertoire. So I'm so glad you're here. I do want to clarify what this course is going to cover. I'm primarily going to talk about early advanced repertoire. Those would be things that are around RCM level 9 and 10, or AMEB grade 8, or just anything that I would classify as early advanced, just past the upper intermediate level. I'm not going to be able to walk you through specifics of how to approach a particular exam system because I don't live within all of those exam systems. And I would just recommend that if you are doing your first time for some sort of specific performance, you might want to talk with a local colleague, someone who is a veteran who could help you walk through that particular thing. I'm happy to help you with repertoire and performance prep and all of those aspects of this topic. I also want to recommend this book, Professional Piano Teaching by Janine Jacobson, Volume 2. Volume 1 is dedicated to elementary study, but this is devoted to intermediate and advanced level piano teaching. It's an excellent book that is written a little bit more like a reference text with a lot of specific examples, a lot of checklists, as well as assignment options like questions, projects for you to do, things to think through. And this book is able to go through much more in depth many of the topics that I'm going to talk about in this course. It's a great reference and companion to this course. Lastly, in this first video, I just want to recommend that you take a second to think about the student in your brain who is moving on into advanced levels and really make sure they have all the skills they need to do this. If you look in your workbook, you'll see that I have a list of skills that students leaving the upper intermediate level should have. And so no student is perfect, and it's likely that even a good student who practices is going to have a couple of holes in that list. But as you think about your specific student, I'd like you to look through that list and think about, is my student competent in all of these areas? There's four categories. You can take a good look through it. If you're noticing that your student is not competent in, say, a third or a half of those items on that list, then that means that you need to go back and do some more intermediate study and really firm up their understanding of reading and musicality and technique and all those things. That doesn't mean that he or she can't work on an advanced piece or two. That is totally fine. But you're also going to need to supplement that with some more intermediate study and make sure their skills are really ready to move on into advanced repertoire as a whole.
All right. So then on to module two, what we're talking about here is the Baroque era, styles, ornaments, how to play and interpret music in the correct style. We're going to be looking in module 2.1 at the Prelude and Fugue because pretty much most students will be playing a Prelude and Fugue at some stage. And then we're going to have an in-depth look at the Prelude in B-flat major and then the Fugue in B-flat major. What to look out for, all the different styles and parts of Fugue, how to play them, how to practice them. Why don't we tune in and have a listen to a little bit of module 2.1. This is the Prelude and Fugue overview.
Welcome to module 2, where we're going to talk about how to teach a Bach Prelude and Fugue. Now, certainly the well-tempered clavier is not the only Baroque repertoire available to our early advanced students, but it is pretty standard to be required for exams at a certain level and conservatory or university auditions. So it is standard that everyone just simply has to learn how to play a Bach Prelude and Fugue. I love teaching Baroque music. You may have already figured that out from my piece by piece videos. But I know that not all teachers love it. And I know that certainly not all students love it. So because it is culturally the farthest removed from us, and because, let's be honest, fugues are really difficult to play on the piano, we are fighting a bit of an uphill battle. And I would just encourage you from the get-go, find, even if this is not your favorite type of music, you have to find something that you love about it, something that you appreciate about it, something that just really draws you in, and you have to put on that persona when you teach this to your student. The easiest way to appreciate these, if you do not naturally love them, is to admire the absolute craftsmanship of Johann Sebastian Bach's writing. He was not known for writing beautiful melodies, like perhaps Mozart was, or Tchaikovsky, but he was known for taking a tiny little piece of music that might not even be all that attractive in the first place, and creating this amazing masterpiece of music out of just that tiny little bit. All right, so hopefully you do actually enjoy this, and hopefully it's not hard for you to share that love with your students. The one way I don't want you to teach this to your students is to say, well, I guess we have to do this because we just have to. Instead, find the thing that you can love about it and share with your student and unlock the puzzle of the amazing mastery here. Okay, so regardless of which one you're going to teach, we're going to look at a specific example in the next videos, but regardless, we're going to talk about overall the form of the preludes and fugues found in the Well-Tempered Clavier. There are two books of them. Within each book, there is one prelude and fugue in every single key. And this would have been remarkable in Bach's day because prior to this, well temperament or equal temperament, meaning the way that they tuned the keyboard instruments, was not standard. And the way they previously tuned them would have made certain keys very awkward and almost dissonant to the ears. So it was common for keyboard pieces to be written only up to about 3 sharps or flats. And you would not find pieces written in F sharp major, say, or G sharp minor. That would have been very unusual. So it's almost as if Bach is setting out to prove that he can do something and that it can really be done. So that's another fun part of the story to tell your students and kind of get them in his brain and what was he thinking. The preludes are exactly that. They are usually almost slightly improvisatory sounding, warming you up in the key that you are then going to play the fugue in. And a prelude is a very free form. There's typically a lot of broken chord patterns and, like I said, exploration of the harmony that you might use in that particular key. There might also be scale patterns or things that sound a little bit more improvisatory. Now, that said, there are also preludes that do not sound like that, that sound a little bit more like an allemand or another dance form. You find those as well. But many of them are more homophonic and explorations of chords in some sort of broken fashion. A fugue is a very, very strict contrapuntal form that I'm not going to go into here. You can read about that elsewhere. But there are specific things that happen in it. And in order for it to be written well, the composer has to follow many, many rules. Fugues can be written in 2 voices, although that's a little bit tricky, and are typically in 3 voices or 4 voices. I would always recommend that for your students' first fugue, they play 1 in 3 voices because that's going to be simpler than 1 in 4 or 5. So let's talk about what makes an expressive performance of a prelude and fugue. Number one, the Baroque masters believed in affect, which is just another word for mood or setting of the character. And within each movement, so within one prelude, there should be one set affect or mood. And however you decide to do your articulation or your dynamics or any of those things need to support that affect that you have decided to use. If you are using an urtext, which I would strongly recommend at this point, then there will not be articulation markings or dynamics given. So the performer has a little bit of license to decide that. And we will talk about that when we talk about a specific example, but it is up to the performer.
Let's move on now to Module 3. Now, Module 3 has 7 sections, and it's big, this one, because it's about the classical era. And the stylistic interpretation of sonatas, particularly by Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven. So we start with an overview of sonatas, then we talk about early advanced Haydn, and then specifically the Haydn Sonata in E minor, Hob 1634, and that's the first movement, Presto, Then we'll look at early advanced Mozart, looking at the B-flat major K570, the Allegro movement, and then early advanced Beethoven, and looking particularly at the Beethoven Sonata in C minor, opus 10, number 1. So what I thought it might be fun to do is have a listen to a little bit of Jana's teaching of the Haydn Sonata. So this is module 3.3. Let's check it out.
Similarly, the right hand has to slur these. That can be really tricky right there. So working on double six and double thirds is going to be imperative for this piece. All right, going on, that's the first theme. And then we modulate to G major, which is the relative major. That's what frequently happens in sonatas and sonatinas that are set originally in a minor key. And I would say then that the second theme is right after this dramatic fermata. That's the other thing that makes this piece so fun. You get these rests with fermatas on this. So this is measure 28. And then it starts. And that's our second theme. Again, double thirds, double six, that's going to be the technical thing you're going to have to address in this piece. And I do want to say that this part, this is measure 30, and then in its corresponding part in the recap, measure 95, is tricky. It's very intricate for these, I don't know, what is it, 12 measures or so. And it's really easy to get the two confused. They're slightly different. So if I go through this in slow motion so I don't make any mistakes. Tie the top. Tie the top again. That's an example of a place where you can use a little pedal to help connect things. Okay, again, we get the dramatic pause. What's going to happen? Oh, we're going to start this again. Tie. And we have the little ending here with these fun to finish up the exposition.
Hi everyone, I wanted to take a moment to let you know about an amazing community of music teachers ready to welcome you over at Top Music Pro. Top Music Pro is the global hub for music teachers looking to connect, learn, grow, and be challenged in both their teaching and studio businesses. Community members save time by accessing hundreds of step-by-step lesson plans, creative teaching frameworks, business guides, online courses, and workshops. We offer training in topics as diverse as music technique, lead sheets, website building, intermediate repertoire, group teaching, and special needs teaching. We also save you money through our extensive discounts, including those with Music Notes, Sheet Music Plus, Music Room, Office Depot, Tonebase, and many more. And if you like sheet music, all our members get a free book of studio-licensed, beautifully engraved sheet music each and every month. As a valued podcast listener, you can check out the Top Music Pro community free for 14 days by heading to topmusicpro.com, clicking Join Now on our studio tier, and using the special coupon code IMTPOD23. That's all one word. So that's IMTPOD23. We can't wait to welcome you inside. Moving on now, module 4 is all about, well, you guessed it, what's the next era? It's the Romantic era. So module 4.1 is an overview of 19th century early advanced repertoire. And then 4.2, what makes an expressive 19th century performance? Because the students are going to be playing something romantic here, and it needs to be different, obviously, to Baroque, obviously, to classical. All of these eras have their own intricacies, and that's what Jana is really getting across in these modules. So module 4.3 takes an in-depth look at the Chopin Nocturne in E-flat major. And of course, with any of these, we couldn't do videos on every single option that's out there. So we've tried to pick options which are relatively accessible and also pretty popular too. But I guess the important thing is that the kinds of things you'll see Jana teach when she's referring to any one of these pieces, you can then extract and use with any other repertoire in that era. And I think that's one of the major things that I want to get across. Even though this is just looking at one piece, the three modules together and the look at specifically that one Chopin Nocturne, you will be able to use as you teach other music in this era. Module 5 is all about 20th century repertoire. And it starts with a module on what makes an expressive 20th century performance. 20th century music can be pretty challenging to teachers. And a lot of teachers, myself included, if I'm honest, avoid it to a certain extent. We might do a little bit of Debussy and Bartok and some of the more common composers, but when we get to things like Schoenberg and some of the atonal works, it can be really hard to know what to do if you haven't been taught this music or experienced it. So that's what we want to help you with. 5.2, module 5.2 is an overview of 20th century early advanced repertoire. And then 5.3 is examples of various pieces containing 20th century idioms. So why don't we listen to a little bit of that module, module 5.3, examples of 20th century music. And if you've ever really struggled to understand some of the music in this era, then this video will be eye-opening and super helpful. It's packed with lots of demonstrations and suggestions for teaching.
All right, let's blitz through some individual pieces. I won't be able to give you specific practice techniques on everything, but if you have questions about any of this, of course, feel free to reach out. First, we're going to talk about the jazz idiom. You are probably familiar with Gershwin, so I'm not going to talk about Gershwin, but his preludes, the three preludes everybody knows, are great for early advanced students. I'm going to highlight here Aaron Copland's Four Piano Blues, the first one. This is an example of jazz idiom as well as mixed meter. The time signature is constantly changing, which leaves it very ambiguous and very flowy. Starts in 6-8. So I'm not sure you could really feel where the meter was, right? Because we went from 6-8 to 5-8 to 7-8 to 8-8. So you've got all those things. So all that's happening is that eighth note is staying constant. And, you know, these little dissonant, they're really kind of jazzy sounding, right? And then you've got this melody on top. Sounds a little bit like a muted trumpet solo or something. So those are really fun pieces, definitely early advanced level, very nice to play. As I said, I wanted to highlight a piece by Robert Muchinski. This is his collected piano pieces, and there's a lot of things at the early advanced and advanced levels in here. We're going to take a look at the Six Preludes, Opus 6. I have taught, I think, most of these, but my favorite one is number 6. And this is a great example of not only dissonance and half-step movement, but accents. So the left hand has this ostinato. It goes back and forth from C sharp to E, that minor third, to B flat to D, major third. So that's that moto rhythmic driving rhythm force, and then it goes in octaves. I'm just going to play a little bit at the beginning because I didn't practice this enough to really perform it for you, but you get the idea. Super fun. It has a little scale passage in the middle, and then later you get to play that same thing in octaves. Etc. You bang around, it sounds really menacing, and it's a really great octave etude as well as accent etude. You've got these two, one, two, that kind of idea. All right, harmonic dissonance. The best thing you can do when playing strange sounds is to not apologize for it, but just to lean in and really go for it. So for this example, I'm going to use the Kapalevsky Prelude, Opus 38, number 2. And it starts like this with a little half-step movement. There's half-steps all over the place in the 20th century. Like that. But when you get into the second line, here are the chords that you play. So we get consonants at the end. We get the A minor triad and the D with the E thrown in. But before that, there's so many crunchy chords.
And the final module is module 6. Just to wrap a few loose ends up, firstly, we're going to talk about memorization. Then we're going to talk about performance anxiety and practicing for performance. Very, very important. And then module 6.3, our last one, is university and conservatory auditions and competitions, how they work, what to look for, how to prepare students for them. That's what we're going to be covering. So as you can see, this course is truly holistic when it comes to preparing for early advanced teaching. Now, nothing can be better than having advanced lessons on your own repertoire with a master teacher, of course. We all know that, and we still recommend it even if you are taking this course. But for those of you who can't do that or can't afford it or aren't ready for it, then this will be the perfect introduction to helping increase your confidence in teaching at this level. Now, not wanting to leave out a couple of bonuses, we have two very cool bonuses as part of this course. One of them is about octaves because, well, everyone questions how to play octaves and do it without pain and fatigue. So why don't we just have a listen to a couple of minutes of the bonus video all about octaves. Here we go.
When we're playing octaves, our hands are spread open. They are not in their natural hand shape. So if you just take a second and hang your hand at your side and let everything release in your hand, that's your natural hand shape. And so in general, when we're playing the piano, we want to return to natural hand shape whenever possible to release any tension that we've built up. And also in general, our goal when we are playing particularly technically difficult music should be to have the greatest efficiency of movement. Now, that goal, of course, goes along with making beautiful sound. But as far as just the actual goal of movement, we want to be as efficient as possible so that we can play with great stamina and, you know, not overuse our muscles or overtax them in any way. So with those things in mind, the way I first teach my students about octaves is I teach them a basic octave scale. And if we just stick to white keys for a minute and just do a C major scale, you may have seen me do this in other intermediate videos. I just teach them to do it very slowly. And in between each octave, return to that natural hand shape. Just like I was saying, if you hang your hands at your side, this is your natural shape. So expanding out to the octave and then releasing back. You can relate this to a rubber band. If you stretch a rubber band out and then you just let it go, it will naturally go back to its regular non-stretched size. And that's the analogy I want to use with my students' hands. We stretch it out and then we just return to our natural hand shape. So if I do that nice and slow motion, etc. We could do the whole C scale going up and down like that. That is an alternative to locking into a fixed position. You know, and never deviating from it. You can certainly do that for brief periods of time and it won't hurt you. But if you're doing that with very fast octaves, you know, or for a long period of time, it's going to cause quite a bit of tension. So obviously I cannot, you know, fully do this motion if I'm playing at a very fast speed, but I can do micro amounts of that. And I'm going to show you now the octave exercise, the octave scale exercise that one of my teachers many, many years ago showed me. This is just a simple two octave scale with a quick turnaround that goes to the natural minor.
And finally, a course about advanced repertoire wouldn't be complete without a look at fast passage work, the filigree runs that students have to get absolutely flying and smooth and confident under pressure. We've got a video exactly talking about that. So let's have a quick listen to a couple of minutes of that one as well.
Once your student can do that and they can play pretty reliably at a moderate tempo, but they know that this is still a sticky spot technically, then we can go on to practicing things that will firm up the technique and help them to play fast. So first I would do 100% staccato. I'm using a lot of like a wrist staccato as well as tall fingers and listening for that clarity that each note sounds just like the other one. Very similarly, 100% marcato, a very heavy accent. Again, listening for evenness of tone, even if it's ugly, listening for evenness of tone across all of them. Dotted rhythms, first long, short, and then short, long. The short, long is much harder for students than long, short. So be ready for that. Accents in small groups. So I'm in a simple meter here. So I've just got 16th notes, you know, 4 16th notes over 4 beats in a measure. So I've got 4 notes per little group of 16th notes. I'm going to start by accenting one. So one E and two E and the first one in each group. One. Now I'm going to shift that accent to the second note in each group. Now I'm going to shift it to the third note.
Okay, well, if that hasn't got you pumped, I don't know what will. This is such a great course, and I hope you've enjoyed having a look behind the scenes at the Advancing Pianist course. To celebrate Thanksgiving and Black Friday, we are running an incredible special. So the special is on an annual membership. Now, our annual membership is normally $499. We are offering just this weekend, as part of our Black Friday sale, we're offering annual memberships for $274. So that's a savings of $225. This discount will continue to roll over each year that you remain a member. So it's not going to jump back up to $499. You are going to be locked in at $274 a year. This is absolutely crazy. And it is open to current monthly members. If you'd like to upgrade to annual, you can also jump on this deal. And not to leave you behind, we're also going to be throwing in 2 more bonuses as part of this deal. Bonus one is 20 Top Music Sheets collections, volumes 15 to 35. So if you aren't sure about our Top Music Sheets, these are our monthly packs of fully studio licensed sheet music that we curate from composers all around the world, including Chris Goldston and Kevin Olsen and Australian composers. You name it, we are featuring them. That is at least $400 value. We're going to give you 20 of those collections to just go and use as you wish with your students. And bonus two, the first 5 people to grab that deal of $274 for an annual membership will get 30 minutes one-on-one with a member of our team. And as I mentioned before, of course, this isn't just the price for this course. This is price for access to our full, complete studio membership with all of our courses, all of our discounts, the monthly sheet music, the monthly games, the lesson plans, the teaching videos, including piece-by-piece intermediate teaching repertoire videos, including my Pop Song Solutions videos. It's all there. It's all bundled together, and that's an incredible price. So go and grab it while you can. The link you need to access that is topmusic.co/Black Friday. Grab it before the deal ends. Phew. All right, that's it for this week. I really do hope to see lots of you inside our Top Music Pro Academy and getting involved in potentially teaching your first advanced students. I remember, as I mentioned back in the episode with Suzanne, that I remember teaching my first advanced students. And I also had those same nerves and lack of confidence, even though I could perform at a high level and perform this music. So it is really normal that you'd be feeling a bit cautious, a little bit of an imposter potentially, even if you can perform this music at your own, yourself, I should say. Teaching it is another matter, but we really hope that this course will give you that peace of mind, give you that confidence, and break through that imposter syndrome so that if this is something that you are interested in doing with your students and in your studio, then you will be able to try it out with a student in the coming months and years ahead. Well, that's it for the podcast for this week and for this month. I can't wait to wrap up the year with you with some great episodes coming your way in December. Until then, I'm Tim Topham, and you've been listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's wonderful to hang out with you, and I'll speak to you again really soon. Bye-bye. How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today. If you enjoy this show and want to hear more of our work, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening today. For links and resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at topmusic.co/podcast or check out the show notes. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast, a production of Top Music. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week ahead, and I'll catch you next time.